Okay, so this is an interview with Dr. Sandy Hutchison, Creative Director of Writing for Warnborough College. Dr. Hutchison, thank you for being with us today.
It's my pleasure.
Okay, so could we just start by asking you to say a few words to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. I am from Atlanta, Georgia, originally, and I currently live in St. Augustine, Florida, about maybe 100 steps from the beach, so I consider myself to be very, very lucky. I have three grown children, a daughter who is 25 and is a graduate of New York University. My second daughter is a student and studying neuroscience at University of Colorado Boulder. And then my third child is a son who goes to Flagler College here in St. Augustine. And he is studying communications, which is something very near and dear to my heart. And I also teach at Flagler. So it's kind of a lovely setup that we have here in St. Augustine. I live with two dachshunds who try to run the house, and they have a shepherd, a three-legged Australian shepherd named Poncho, who tries to manage them. So my life is fun and wonderful, and everything's good here at the beach.
Well, I certainly like a bit of time at the beach here in winter in Canterbury.
I'm sure.
Okay, so let's turn to today's discussion on creative writing. Can you explain briefly what we mean when we say creative writing? What are we talking about specifically?
Creative writing is falls outside of the boundaries of academic writing, technical writing, journalism, or even professional writing. Creative writing is art, and it's the kind of writing that we do to feed our souls. And it's the kind of reading that we do for pleasure, mostly. But then there are other kinds of creative writing that instruct and inform. But creative writing is more for the soul's journey, I believe, than for academic pursuits.
Okay. So leading on from that, why does it matter in the world today?
Well, because creative writing is art, it matters, and because art will always matter. From the time of cavemen chipping away at cave walls, art has mattered. It matters to the thousands of visitors who go to the Vatican to see the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. So in the same way that that kind of art feeds the soul, so does creative writing. And so it's always going to be important for humankind.
Okay. So that's not bad. So what are the benefits then of learning to write creatively?
I think I think the benefits of studying creative writing are that they make you more confident in what you're pursuing. So that, I mean, anybody can pick up a pen and write a poem. They can write a novel, pursue that kind of writing, and it does something for your soul, even if you've never studied it. But what studying it does, at least it did for me, was give me confidence that I was pursuing a craft and honing it into something that would benefit others.
Okay, so obviously, as the director of our creative writing program, you are a creative writer yourself.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your own background with the art, what you do, what you've done,
of course,
and where you came from?
I graduated from a Bachelor of Arts program a long, long time ago, and always had with the idea that I was going to be a writer. And from the time I was a little girl, my grandmother gave me an old typewriter, and I would peck away just, you know, knowing that I was on this earth to be a writer. And so I graduated with that degree and promptly got married and had children, and it kind of got put on the back shelf. So when my children got a little bit older, I decided I would go back and pursue a master's degree. And I was also at the time going through a heart-wrenching divorce. And my the master's program I entered was not in creative writing. It was in nonfiction writing, academic nonfiction writing. And it took me about 2 weeks to realize that I hated it, and that was just not for me. So that is when I began looking around and found a creative writing MFA program that became and that program saved me in a lot of ways. That divorce was so hard that my writing was a diversion from that. Mm. And then the things I wrote while in that program were very, very beneficial just for me personally, but they turned out to be actually good writing too. So I'm a huge believer in the creative writing pursuit as a degree. And then when I finished that MFA program, I knew I could write, but it just hadn't translated to the confidence I needed in my writing. So that's why I began looking around for a PhD program, and ultimately got that degree too.
Okay, so what inspired you to become a creative writer yourself? You've talked about your life. So who did you sort of look up to? What made you think, I can do this?
When I was in ninth grade, I had a teacher assign a project. We had a choice of projects, but the one I chose was to follow a writer in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution newspaper. His name was Louis Grizzard, and he was a humor columnist. And we had to follow him. His column was published, I think, 4 days a week at that time, and write little essays on the way he put his columns together and everything. I fell in love with Louis Grizzard, and this was in the late 70s, early 80s, when he was just starting his career in Atlanta. And he stayed at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution until his death in 1993. And when that man died, I just sobbed and sobbed, because I grew to just – I admired what he could do in 550 or 600 words. But he just took you into his life through those years, and with his humor, but also his heart. And so I, as a very young girl, I decided that I wanted to be able to do that. Somebody who could make you laugh and cry in the space of 600 words, to me, was a genius. And so that was my inspiration. And we're 35 years later or so, and that's all I've really ever wanted to do.
Okay, so creative writing, imaginative time now. So you're off to a lonely Pacific desert island for a week with nothing to do but read. What three books do you take with you, and why?
This is going to sound funny, I guess, but the three books I would take would be Moby Dick by Herman Melville, The Sound and the Fury by William Faulkner, and The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald. And the only reason it would be those three books is because that's what I'm reading this week right now. If you called me next week and asked me, it would be three different books. So how's that for an answer?
That's totally fine. Just because you're reading them now, then?
Yes.
Okay. No, that's fine. I can make my way through a bunch of books every so often. So, okay. So let's talk a bit more about what you do with Warnborough now. So let's talk about the courses Warnborough offers with yourself as the director. Mm-hmm. So what's involved in one of Warnborough's creative writing degrees at the master's or doctorate level?
Well, we have an MFA and then a PhD in creative writing. And basically those programs are heavy on reading, because I just simply do not believe you can ever become a good writer unless you're a good reader. And they're heavy on the writing, because writing, like any other craft, takes practice to master. I think everyone probably is familiar with the Malcolm Gladwell essay on 10,000 hours. And basically the gist of that essay was that it takes 10,000 hours to master anything, whether you want to be a tennis professional, a band member. He uses the Beatles, actually, as an illustration in that essay. But people somehow have the idea that writing is just inspiration and talent, and they can just crank out a novel because they feel like it. And that's not quite accurate. I think you have to put in the time to learn that craft to be able to do it well. And so that's what the programs at Warrenboro do. We emphasize reading and imitating the great masters. Aristotle said it 2,500 years ago that painters learn to paint by imitating the great masters, and that's how writers learn to write, by studying and imitating great writers. So that's what we do at Warrenboro. We read and we practice our writing.
Okay, so when you say we, who would you say that the courses Warrenboro offers are generally targeted towards? Who should consider one of the master's or the doctorate level creative writing courses?
I think the beauty of the Warrenboro program is it's available to anyone in the world who's willing to take the time and put in the energy to do the work. We don't require residencies. So you can do it from the comfort of your own home and turn in your work at your pace. And that was what first attracted me to Warrenboro, because I still had a child at home and I couldn't just pick up and move to a college town across the state or across the country so that I could pursue my PhD. So Warrenboro filled that need for me. It was a program that I could do where I lived and get it done at my pace. And I just can't say enough about how much I love this program.
Okay, and you've come through the program and now you're at the Healy Heights of course director yourself.
Yes.
So could you tell us a little bit about your plans now that you're in your new role, as what you're going to be doing with our programs going forward?
The program to me was very, very good as it was. So I don't want to come in and say, well, I know how to do it better and tinker with it a whole lot. But one of the things that I am interested in doing is helping tailor programs for our particular students. I'm not going to compromise on quality, but if I have a student who, say, is like I was, very, very interested in creative nonfiction writing versus fiction or poetry, then we're going to allow that student to focus on that genre. It's not to say a student would never delve into some fiction, because I think fiction informs nonfiction and vice versa. And we won't ever study any poetry, because I think poetry helps a writer on many levels, no matter which genre they're studying. But we do tailor our programs to the specific needs of our students. And so I'm interested in making sure that we do that. But as far as just coming in and willy-nilly changing what's already in place at Warrenboro, I really don't have an interest in that, because I think the program is very well done as it stands now.
Okay, so Dr. Hutchison, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us today. We can hear your dog in the background. So,
so sorry about that.
Walking. It's clearly walking his time or something. So we shall let you get on with that. Thank you again.
Thank you so much, Gareth.